Well, hey, everybody. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, the makers of Out of the Park Baseball 18, MLB Manager 2017, and Franchise Hockey Manager 3. Make sure to join us every Wednesday night for Out of the Park Night on YouTube at 9 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments. We've got Community Manager TJ Larriman live streaming his Out of the Park 18 exploits, some of which you will hear about tonight. And then at 9 p.m., our Franchise Hockey Manager 3 Community Manager Adam Burnett is joined by Franchise Hockey Manager producer Jeff Riddles, and they go through a whole bunch of fun stuff. They got a few different stories that they're going through, including some historic runs with the LA Kings and some modern-day runs with the Detroit Red Wings, trying to get those franchises in different eras and different places and having some fun there. So every week on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments, TJ does Out of the Park Baseball at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then Jeff and Adam do Franchise Hockey Manager 3 at 10 p.m. Eastern. And if you can't watch them live at 9 and 10 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv, that's okay, because we archive them to our YouTube page at youtube.com/OOTP Developments. And now we've also got 3 brand new tutorial videos from the Out of the Park CEO, Marcus Heinsohn, who's also the lead designer and developer for Out of the Park Baseball. There are 3 tutorials. So if you're new to Out of the Park Baseball, or even if you're a veteran, I guarantee you that watching those 3 tutorials on all sorts of different cool stuff that you can do in the game will shine a bright light on all sorts of fun ways to enjoy Out of the Park Baseball 18. So check them out every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments. And then check us out on youtube.com/OOTP Developments for all of the videos. Thanks, as always, for supporting the Press Row Podcast. Thank you for supporting independent sports game making, and enjoy the show.
Well, if it didn't already feel like the sports gaming season is just about upon us, it certainly does now. All 9 betas for 2 of the upcoming games are currently active, and 2 other highly anticipated games have revealed details on various significant features and improvements. This is the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre. We've got a panel together for this episode to discuss our thoughts on the NHL 18 and Pro Evolution Soccer 2018 betas, detailed information on NBA 2K18's 2 franchise modes, and various impactful community requests that have been tackled for Madden NFL 18. All right, first, do we want to talk about what we've been playing lately? Yes, we do. Richard Grisham, you start us off this episode. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Awesome. So I've been playing a lot of Splatoon 2. That is a wonderful game on the Switch. And my son has been playing more of it, so I've been doing more watching than playing. But I've been doing some playing as well. And we've just been having a blast. It just does everything right. It makes it easy to jump in and play and have fun. I love the fact that there's no voice, no chat, none of that stuff. So you're just playing the game. It's easy to, you know, it doesn't require significant communication or teamwork. You know, you just go around and you do what you do. Although obviously for those people who do want voice, you know, there's ways to do that. So it's a fun place for my son to just play on his own, which is cool. So I love that. It's just a beautifully designed multiplayer game that is everything that I would like from that kind of experience, which is fun, quick matches, easy to play, easy to enjoy yourself. If you're good or you're bad, it doesn't really matter because it's fun. And because of the way that we're playing it, which is, as I said, without like the voice chat turned on or anything like that, there's no toxicity or nothing. It's just great fun. So that's what I've been playing the most of is Splatoon 2.
Still playing Golf Club 2, Rich?
A little bit, but it gets harder and harder every time I play because I've been playing less and less, and not because I don't want to, just because of time. And it's I don't mean that as a criticism. It's actually really good because that's the real game of golf. You have to play to be consistent. And so, no, it has not. I played a couple rounds, but like I said, each round's been harder than the last.
Yeah, I still love the game. I'm a little frustrated. We got a patch recently, and I feel like it disrupted I don't know if it's the frame rate or what, but it is causing a disruption to my play, significantly seeing my play worsen. And I think oftentimes it's because of an effect on the backswing or the ball going the opposite direction that it should have. Like the wind will be going right and I'll hit it accidentally, I'll miss to the right, and for some reason it'll go left. I don't know. But I still like setting up the tournaments for our society.
Yes. Yes.
So if anyone's out there listening has the Golf Club 2 and on PS4 you want to play in the Pasta Padre Society, look us up. You can do it. There's small entry fees for each tournament, but you end up winning credits and getting to participate in there. It has been a lot of fun, and leaderboards are cool. It's keeping track of like a season, points for everybody in the season, and pretty neat. And at some point, I don't know what point that'll be, we'll start a whole new season from scratch. So,
with the golf club, I hit it straight off the tee every time down the middle of the fairway, and my second shot is usually pretty good. It's the chipping and the putting that destroys me in that game. It's like, it's amazing how you go from, all right, I'm on a par five, like I'll be right near the green after two shots, and then it all falls apart. It's just amazing. That short game, it chops me up and kills me.
It's a brutal feeling. It really is. Like, especially when I go from something great, like maybe I'll even get an eagle, and then the next hole I'll just like completely wipe out all the good I did right before then. It's a deflating feeling.
It's rough, man.
That's golf. Next, we've got Mills Gaming TV. He's also been known as Millennium. How you doing, man? What you been playing lately?
I'll tell you what. It's been mainly four games over the last week since we last spoke. It's been a lot of Fortnite. Fortnite has pretty much taken over my world. It's a game by Epic Games for PC, Xbox One, and PS4 that is like half tower defense, half shooter, half resource gatherer, half fort builder. Like it's just a bunch of games into one. It can get a little grindy once you get up to a certain level, but it has just been so much fun for me. It's four-player co-op, almost like horde mode, the entire time. It's got enough loot that keeps you coming back. I've got that loot addiction back in full force. I've also been playing one of the bays we'll talk about tonight, but also MLB The Show. Have been keeping up with that. They've got a big event coming out tomorrow where it's going to be any pitcher you want, but only hitters under 50 vision. So that should be interesting. And six inning games for a 99 overall Jake Arrieta. You have to get 40 wins in 10 days in six inning games. Oh. So, yeah, I mean, 10 days, I figured it out. It's about 2 hours a day. And there's four weekend days in there.
Is that if you win every game, though?
Well, I mean, kind of. I measured myself, and I've said before that I'm about a 60% clip of winning. So I'm going to have to, if I keep at that pace, I'm going to have to complete 60 games in 10 days. So six inning games, that's about, I mean, for six games a day, that's about 2 hours on six inning games. For the most part of it's on fast play. So my hope is to get that, because that 99 Jake Arrieta looks really good, and I'm not really interested in any of the other rewards for that event. The other games are kind of surprising. I've fallen a little off of Golf Club 2, and actually I think I'm going to join your society at some point, because I need to join a society to get some motivation and continue playing it.
How are you not but in I was, there already, man?
I don't do that. I like, you don't have no idea. I no idea how many, every time I pick up a game, it's like, can I stream this? Like, that's the first question I have to ask myself at this point. So I've been playing a game on Steam called Golf It. It came out in February, and I've had it for a couple months, but it's sort of like a multiplayer mini golf game to an extent, but it's gorgeous. And it's got the same thing Golf Club 2 has, where you can create courses. And there's an absolute dearth of community courses out there. There's just so many beautiful courses you can play on, and it's a difficult game. It's not just a pick up and, you know, you're gonna shoot under par game. So that's been keeping me. That's the games I've been going for so far. Those four games, and having a ton of fun. Just just and we'll talk about, like I said, the one that I'm having the most fun with, we'll talk about here in a second.
Yep. And finally, we've got returning to the podcast, Snaggle Jay. How are you, man?
I'm doing really good. I'm glad to be back. Some exciting stuff to talk about, so that's good.
Yeah, you've got, you're our Canadian, I assume.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We can assume that. And so that's what that can just transition us right into NHL then, because I know we all want to talk about that one. NHL 18 has its beta, which began just a few days ago, runs through the end of the month, although it's very likely they'll end up extending that, gives us the first chance to try some of the new features for the game, the new online-based features. NHL 3s, which is the arcade mode, which has things like bigger hits, just wilder setting, goals counting for different amounts, penalties equaling penalty shots. It's kind of wild. EA Sports Hockey League, which is offering now the opportunity to play 3-on-3 overtime style. And then regular head-to-head. And so it's a pretty comprehensive beta. And let's say, Millennium, why don't you kick us off on some of your initial thoughts on this beta?
All right, so I have really good and really bad. Like, there's complete extremes in both sides of this. For the really good, Arcade 3s is the most fun I've had in NHL in years, especially playing with six people. Or bringing three of your friends on and then going through and just matchmaking against three other people. Mm. It is constant action. There is no downtime. It is fun. You have the ability to use the deeks. There's enough space on the ice where you feel like it's a one-on-one situation. But it is still close enough to where you still can use some actual defensive fundamentals. And so I think that's great. The deking, I think, is done well. I tried deking with some guys like Tom Wilson of the Caps, who's a fourth line grindy guy, and the deeks didn't work. So I'm happy to see that. I haven't seen enough of the CPU creative AI that they're talking about with the CPU passing to really judge that yet, but I did see one pass off the boards that I didn't call for, which was nice to see. But after that, it kind of falls apart. I played online versus for a few games, and I put up two specific videos on my Twitter account, which I know have been seen, thankfully, by a couple of devs. The defensive AI in 1v1, which I'm going to guess translates over to 1v the CPU as well, still has the same large issues, whereas if you turn the puck over in the neutral zone, your two defenders will still rush the defensive blue line without actually reacting to that turnover, which gives an easy breakaway where there shouldn't be one. Hmm. I'm talking about top flight defenders, low end defenders. There's no differentiation. The other video that I put up is on a breakout. I had a guy take the puck from one side of the neutral zone to the other with all five of my guys in my zone. My five guys, as the guy went across the neutral zone, all five of my defenders went towards the center blue of my defensive blue line. All of them rushed that way. One of them, TJ Oshie, which was computer controlled, just started skating up the ice. The other four left a perfect lane on the outside towards the boards to the goal, and I ended up getting scored on because of it. And that is something that was a huge problem at 17. In terms of defensive awareness entering the neutral zone, defensive awareness in the neutral zone, and in general. And that is something that I really wish was fixed, because they did say they reworked a lot of the defensive spacing because of threes. And I'm just not seeing that. So for all of the good things that they added on, there are still some really fundamental issues in terms of AI that really glare when you're playing 1v1.
All right, Snaggle Jay, give me some of your just high-level thoughts after playing the beta so far with NHL.
Yeah, so I would have to say, if I had to summarize my thoughts in one word, I would probably say I'm underwhelmed. On Monday night's episode of Bullpen Banter, which Millennium can attest to, I actually came out and said, when we were having a discussion about the show's longevity, that I felt like NHL 18 has an opportunity to improve on what they built and get back to that sports game of the year level that it has been at in the past. And there's a lot of things that I have on my checklist that you can't really verify in this beta. You know, what are they going to do with Hockey Ultimate Team? What are they going to do with their additions to franchise? You can't test that stuff. But like Millennium said, the defensive AI and just the way the AI operates in general is the one thing that keeps the gameplay from good jumping to great. I felt like NHL 17, the gameplay was, it was good. You know, 80-85% of the time, it wasn't, you know, it didn't stick out like a sore thumb. You were pleased with what was happening on the ice, but it's that other 15 or 20% of the time where you're like, what is my team doing? And those frustrations are still there. I think the threes is cool. I probably will never play it unless I'm just like chilling with, you know, a couple of guys, you know, and we want to go out again. I did not feel it was very fun playing like 1v1 in a social match, just, you know, matching up with somebody. I can already see people trying to exploit the, you know, how horrible the goalies are in threes, and things like that. So that's probably something I'll stay away from. But yeah, again, I would just say, after having played it for probably 6 to 8 hours, I'm left feeling underwhelmed at the moment.
All right, Rich Grisham, after spending some time with the NHL beta, how do you feel about it so far?
Well, I feel that I am a terrible player of NHL because, boy, I played online. Do I get my butt handed to me on a regular basis whenever I play? And that's fine. I mean, you know, that's how I am in any modern sports game when it comes to online. I like, you know, I enjoy playing online against my friends because those games tend to be good. Yeah, and when I play in the general public, I get crushed. So, you know, I played a few games. I got crushed. I had some technical, or not, I didn't have some technical issues. I noticed some definite issues, like, you know, the game slowed down pretty badly a couple times, but that's why I have betas. Like, I get that. I'm not even complaining, right? This is a free beta. But there was definitely times where, you know, weird things were happening. You know, at one point in one of the games, the goalie was pulled for the entire, you know, first period when there was like a penalty called. But then there was a whistle at the exact moment. Like, some weird sort of set of events happened. But again, that's why you have a beta. So with me with NHL, my biggest challenge has been that the way that I grew up playing and enjoying NHL was always playing games live against my friends. I mean, for years, my friends and I would play 7-game series against each other, you know, and keep track of the stuff like that, you know, in on Xbox Live and things like that. And then we had for a while the GM connected a couple times, you know, with different people. So I'm still not feeling NHL because the ways that I like to play, I don't have the ability, generally speaking, to sort of schedule games against Kat or you, Brian, or really anybody. So I have a hard time sort of thinking that I'm going to find a place for this game in the lineup this fall for me personally. The beta was fun, but the problems that Millennium mentioned were not specifically obvious to me, but there was something about it that sort of didn't quite feel right either. So I'm not disappointed at all because it's a beta, but I was, you know, it would have been nice to sort of get a little bit more energized by it. That's all.
Hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. We're going to take just a moment to thank our sponsors for this week, HelloFresh. These guys do a fantastic job, and I am now a customer, and you can help the Press Row podcast and have some great meals, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of this. So real quick, let me tell you what HelloFresh is. They are on a mission to save home cooking because it's just too good to go away. They want to make cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. So they think of themselves as three different kind of companies all at one. Number one, a farm-to-box company, because they want everyone to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals. But they're also a couch-to-kitchen company because they think the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. And third, they are a fork to feel good company because when you cook and eat delicious and healthy meals, you're going to want to keep doing it again and again. And I can vouch for this because HelloFresh sent us a big old box with several meals, and it came in an insulated box, and it had the frozen ice packs in there, which kept everything nice and fresh. And those, by the way, are reusable. So we tossed them into the freezer, and we actually wound up using them when we went to the beach a few days later. They offer different things, a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. You can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week designed for either 2 or 4 people. New recipes are created every week. In 6 easy-to-master steps, they get you chopping, zesting, and cooking like a natural, because most of the recipes take just 30 minutes and require minimal equipment. And this is totally legit. As I mentioned, my wife and my son, he's 9, he was working with her, and they got all the stuff out, and they chopped, and they zested, and they cooked, and they did everything that they had to do. And it's a really, really great meal at the end. And I am now officially a HelloFresh customer. So the way that you can help us out is simple. All you got to do, you got to go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. When you do that, you get $30 off your first week of deliveries. That is a great savings. So HelloFresh.com, enter PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. This is a really good service. It really makes life easier and better. You know, if you want to have a good meal, but you want to prepare it and you want to sort of get everybody in the kitchen, this is a fantastic way to do it. And it's cost effective too. For less than $10 a meal, you're going to have much better dinner than if you were, you know, to do that guilty pleasure, drive on over to that fast food place or order that same pizza that you've had 4 times in the last 8 days. Check out HelloFresh.com, enter the promo code PRESSROW30, get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, HelloFresh. Thank you for listening to the Press Row podcast, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, it's definitely tough as far as where does this game sit with consumers. I think obviously big NHL fans may jump on it, but with the competition around that time, with like 7, 8, 9 different sports games releasing within a 3-week period, it's tough to break through. So, do you think, Rich, that going the kind of the arcade angle with the NHL 3s being probably their most promoted new feature, do you think that's going to help? Do you see that breaking through a bit for EA this year?
I think it's going to help because it is appealing to it's appealing and it's appealing to me. I didn't get a chance to play that, but just, you know, the fact that there's something new and interesting that I can play, and I think of threes, I think of something that's less complicated, more you know, speedier and more fun. And I think any way that you can try to expand the ways to play your game and potentially expand to new people who might not have thought about playing before is a great idea. Whether it works or not, yeah, is another thing to be seen. But you have to invest in your game and come up with new things to do every year. You have to. That's just the rules of the game. And so, I think overall it's a good idea, and I hope that they execute it well.
I feel like NHL is maybe the least accessible of all the sports games, or right at the top of that list. So I see there's potential here with the NHL 3s. I don't know if it's something that sells the game, but I do think people are going to find value in that if they give it a chance, or if they're looking for that arcade style of mode or just manner of play. Millennium, you know, what I found about NHL 3s, which I personally really enjoyed playing, is that it's not a traditional arcade type take on a sport. It you're not dealing really with power-ups, right? You're not really dealing with kind of just completely off-the-wall things. It's still kind of grounded, although they did change the scoring around and all that. But the freedom of movement, because you've only got the 3 skaters out there on each side, the big hits that you can lay on people. I mean, I took out a goalie, was kind of fun. And although I'm not sold on the scoring system. I mean, how do you feel about the way they structured this mode? Do you think they hit kind of a middle ground, or were they going for something a little different than that?
I think they wanted a mode where they could show off their additions. Defensive skill stick works very well in this mode, especially because, like I said, I think of it as like a NBA 2K My Park kind of mode, mm-hmm, where one-on-one defense and one-on-one offense are highlighted. I do think I actually like the scoring I like the, you know, play to five, win by two. I like that you flip a coin before every match, and whoever wins the coin flip gets to choose the scoring, because you can change it between periods or score to a certain point level, and you can actually turn the money pucks on and off. That's the extra scoring you're talking about, where you can get goals that are worth two or three goals. You can get goals that are worth one, but take two or three away from your opponent
That's the one. That's the one that depressed me.
Right. Well, because
your score go down.
Yeah, you get up two, three goals, and all of a sudden they score one, and it's 1-0, and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So I fully get that. I like it because it adds a little more anxiety to the game, a little more intensity in terms of if you know there's a plus three going on, you start thinking to yourself two or three goals ahead. Like, if we score this one, the next one's a money puck, we can win. We only have to score two goals. We don't have to score, you know, we're down 5-0. We don't have to score seven goals in a row. We might only have to score three if it's, you know, a regular puck and then two 3-point money pucks. So I like that aspect of it. The things they need to tweak in that mode are they have to incentivize it somehow. It has to have, when it comes to the market, you have to give people a reason to play it. People are not going to continue to play it versus other modes if they don't get any kind of reward for it.
Well, isn't there a campaign of some sort that they're holding back from the beta?
There is, but it looks, from what I can see of it, it only looks like it unlocks more players for threes. Because there are locked players in threes, which I'm going to guess are legends or because, like, Ovechkin is not locked, but there is a locked person on the Caps, and I can't think of anyone you would lock other than Ovechkin unless it's like a legend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would think legends are probably locked away in that mode. But what I mean by incentivizing is incentivizing head-to-head play in that mode. Giving people pucks for Hockey Ultimate Team, or even cards, kind of like how MLB does Battle Royale, and they have specific cards you can win in that mode. I'd love to see NHLT do the same thing. These are cards you can only win by going, you know, 5-0 in arcade threes or something like that. The other thing they have to fix is, I know there's no penalties, but there has to be something for running the goalie, because you can run the goalie with no reason not to and just score on him.
Yeah.
You can also run other players without the puck. Now, I don't mind running other players without the puck if the puck's in the area, but I'm talking about if a guy has the puck as a defenseman and you are on his team, you can run the defenseman that's guarding him and knock him clear across the ice.
Yeah.
Fun, yeah, but when it gets down to the competitive season of this mode, because I think this is probably, in terms of fun level, I think this is their competitive gaming mode. I think this keeps the most eyes on the ice. If there is a competitive gaming mode coming from NHL in the future, I think it's more on threes than it is on fives or sixes.
It'd be an interesting direction for them to go, especially if they keep it arcadey like that. But you're right. It would probably be the most interesting from a spectating perspective, if that's what they were going to do, than just watching a standard game.
Well, the roadmap is Rocket League. The roadmap is Rocket League for sports games.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket League was highly successful in the esports environment because of the fact that it's constant action. There is individual skill involved as opposed to just random ratings. In Rocket League, all the cars are the same. So that's really, like I said, Battle Royale, it evens out the teams for the most part. Salary cap in Madden evens out the teams for the most part, with the exception of team building. I think NHL, it's kind of the same idea. You're going to have to find something, and I think this is the way to do that.
So, Snaggle, are you interested? Do you have interest in that arcade side of things, or were you just looking at the simulation angle and just the regular gameplay? Was that what interested you, or did you experiment a little bit with the threes?
I played the threes, and again, the threes were pretty much what I expected. Something that I could sit, and I did watch Millennium stream, you know, a couple hours of the threes, and it from a spectator point of view, it was exciting. It was exciting to watch. It's fast paced. The games are quick. I enjoyed playing with other users. And again, like Millennium said, either three users versus three users, or you get a couple guys together and you just go through the matchmaking. I thought that was fun as well. I expected that, you know, playing against just myself against matchmaking was going to not have a lasting appeal, and I was correct in that. But yeah, again, it's, you don't get enough in this beta to judge the gameplay aspects of it from a 6-on-6 point of view. I mean, EASHL is essentially on the ice exactly the same, I feel, as it was last year. Very minimal change there. If anything, I'm kind of like with Millennium, I think there's still some very glaring negatives there. But again, I was really hoping they would have just an offline, you know, where I could just play against the CPU, you know, even like the Stanley Cup matchup, Penguins Predators or something. And I didn't get that. So, you know, it's difficult to judge and say, oh, I think it's fixed, or, oh, I think it's broken based on a limited beta. But I, again, the threes is nice, but I'm going to have to see the finished product and see if they can take some of the feedback that they get from this and make some tweaks for the final product in October.
And hopefully, you know, it's possible we'll see some of that soon. In the last 2 years when they've held these betas, they've put out tuning updates. They've adjusted some things, and that's partially why they extended the betas, not only to bring more people in. So people, the only people who are involved in the betas right now are those who have received codes. They signed up for them, and those who signed up got extras, so they spread around a little bit. But they've opened up the betas in the past to everyone to kind of increase the server load and see if they can handle it and adjust that way. But also to get continued feedback on some of the changes they did make in reaction. So we'll see if that happens coming up, and it might be something we'll revisit then. The other beta that's been out now for a little bit is for Pro Evolution Soccer 2018. It's an intriguing one because if Pro Evolution Soccer, for all the great it's done, it has lagged behind FIFA in a few areas, one of them being online play. You know, FIFA's had the 11-on-11 online play, online team play, or whatever, I forget what they call it now. But Pro Evolution hasn't had any of that online co-op. Well, now they've introduced the ability for three people to play on a team versus three people on the other team. So you get the online co-op. The beta also offers just straight one versus one online games. This is an open beta. Anybody can download it from the Xbox One, Xbox Live store, or from the PlayStation store for PS4. So you can jump on that. Anyone out there, if you want to try it out, this is very specifically to test the online performance, to test the matchmaking. And it's less about the gameplay improvements that they've made. They specifically said a lot wasn't implemented, or it's an older build because of the time needed to submit and get it approved and get it released. So the main purpose of it is just to play the new 3 versus 3 and get a sense of how that's all working. So my first suggestion to everyone who is a FIFA veteran, and I posted this on Twitter, is that switch the controls, right, Rich?
Every time.
Yeah.
It works beautifully.
Switch the controls. It's called Type 2. That matches what you get in FIFA. That's the first thing you want to do if you're new to the Pro Evolution series, but you've been playing FIFA for a while. So I'll start with, because Snaggle's the other one here who has spent a good amount of time with it, so we'll talk just briefly about it. But I'll give you my thoughts on it first, because I love Pro Evolution Soccer last year. I gave it a great review. Gameplay is extraordinarily good. And like I said, they didn't really say this is about gameplay, so I wasn't really analyzing too much of that. But how does this 3 versus 3 work? So my impressions based on a handful of games is that it's a little heavy. There's a sluggishness, lag-related, that causes some opportunity windows to close quickly. So you go for a pass, you got tackled before you can get it off, or you see an opportunity to shoot, and it's too late to get that off. So that is a little troublesome. That's something that I'm sure they're working on optimizing. But as far as the structure of this 3v3 goes, there are some issues I have, some pretty big issues with the way players are switched. So you've got two human teammates on your team. So then you've got to switch, or it's going to auto-switch you, and it's disorienting because you don't know exactly where you're going. You're not picking a specific player you're switching onto. So oftentimes it auto-switched me onto someone, and then I had to search for where I was because I didn't know where I was going to be when it did that or what situation it was dropping me into. And then when you manually switch, you know, you can get a sense of where it's probably going to take you, but you don't know that for sure, and someone else may be switching at the very same time and get to that player before you. So I found real difficulty with keeping in the flow of the game and being an impactful player when I didn't really know where I was going to be at or what situation I was going to find myself in at a given time. One thing I do like after each match, it gives you kind of a performance tracker. Actually, it gives it to you at the break and then also at the end. And it rates you, it gives you feedback based on things like your shots, your passing, your dribbling, your defensive positioning, all things of that nature, instead of just getting credit for scoring a goal or whatever else that's kind of tracked with statistics. This is giving you the opportunity to play sound fundamentally, and you get credit for that. So, Snaggle, do you feel the same way as me as far as how it works with switching around players? And then just give me your kind of overall thoughts on the beta so far.
Yeah, so, I mean, full disclosure, like, FIFA 17 is the only soccer game I've played on this generation of consoles. I've never played a Pro Evolution Soccer game. And I would have to agree with 100% of what you just said. I know this beta is not supposed to be about gameplay, but I really do enjoy the reduced speed of the gameplay.
Yeah.
Versus the FIFA series. That was something that struck me because the first game I played, I did not jump right into the co-op mode. I played a 1v1 online game. Mm-hmm. And the very first thing I noticed is the decreased speed of the gameplay is fantastic. And then that is immediately where the positives for me ended. I agree. There is a lag that makes making nice, crisp soccer football plays next to impossible. And that is, yeah, it's there in the 1v1 and in the co-op mode, it's ratcheted up a bit. I really, like you, I had generally no idea where my player was going to switch to at any given time. It's hard to get into a mode like that. I feel like if I was judging buying or not buying this game based on the online portion, I would be very, very skeptical at this point. You know, they made a very big deal that they are going to be making improvements to the online play. They know that's what's holding them back versus FIFA and EA Sports. And I have to say, again, being new to this franchise, I was left very disappointed by how the game played and just the general confusion that you felt in the co-op mode.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It probably would have been wise of them to throw in an offline type of thing or a practice or something of that nature just to give people an opportunity to actually get a proper feel for it. Yeah. Instead of getting into thrown into an online environment where everything is so variable from game to game.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, like, and the thing is that you can see, like, as a person who plays a lot of sports games, I can tell that there is a very good core game here without having to play offline modes. And, you know, I've watched plenty of people, you know, stream, you know, PES 17. I've watched YouTube videos. I've, you know, read, you know, reviews and blogs about it. I know the type of game that they have at the core. It's a beautiful game. You know, again, the decreased speed of the gameplay is very, very nice. It's just this one aspect of it that they have failed year after year to get down. and try to jump into that online realm that they know is A, so popular, and B, so profitable mm-hmm. for companies. And it's just it's almost like there's one hiccup after the next. You know, three-person co-op, fantastic idea. Again, I think it would make, you know, playing online soccer very, very interesting. But if it's not done right, it's absolutely useless to the consumer.
Rich, I know you didn't get an opportunity to play the beta, but you're a huge Pro Evolution fan. We've talked about it almost every episode you bring it up. Is online just not, especially in this kind of just standard, you know, against random people structure, is that just not of interest to you anymore, something like an online co-op, or, you know, what would you be looking for out of online if they were doing something?
Well, real quick, I did play the beta. Oh. Actually, yeah, so I did play it, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I'll answer your question.
Sure.
With me online, the reason I don't play online is not because I wouldn't love to play. It's because it just doesn't fit into my schedule anymore, right? To play online against a random to me is not a good time. To play online with and or against my friends is a great time. I mean, Brian, how many fantastic games have we had over the years, right? And so much great stuff. It's just, and it doesn't really fit into it. And the other part is for the game like Pro Evo, I have such an amazing time just playing my career, you know, restarting every year as Everton and sort of rebuilding it and trying to see what I can do with that franchise. I don't want to play anything else. That's just for Pro Evolution, that's what interests me. Conversely, in NHL, the only thing that really is fun for me in NHL is playing my friends online. And that's always fun. Whether it's NHL 17 or NHL 07 or whatever, that is always fun. For whatever reason, the length of the season, the fact that I don't know nearly as much about hockey players as I do about baseball players or football players, just doing a franchise in NHL is not my thing. So very different games. I like very different experiences. In Pro Evolution, I get such joy from playing the single player mode because it is so challenging to me. That I just don't venture online because with what I enjoy with it and the available time I have, that's just what I do. So having said that, with mm-hmm. the beta, I did play it, and I can't argue with anything you guys have to say. Doesn't mean I'm not going to buy Pro Evolution day one. I've already pre-ordered it, you know, from Amazon. Like, it's going to show up at my door the day it's out, and I will play it for hundreds of hours because that's what I've done with the last couple of Pro Evos and have enjoyed them more than ever. So to me, it doesn't matter that this beta was confusing and strange and weird. I don't care. I'm buying Pro Evo day one because it's the best sports game available.
So, Mills, as a streamer, one thing I've noticed, not just sports games in general, but FIFA, Pro Evolution, huge fan bases, but they don't really have that much traction in the world of streaming. You know, what could they do to make that more interesting to watch? We just had this discussion about NHL as far as would threes increase kind of interest there. Would an arcade mode maybe do that for soccer games? Is there something different they need to do to kind of increase viewer interest, you think, and get more people involved besides just those who play the game?
And honestly, the issue is that we're looking at it from a U.S. standpoint. In U.S., for U.S. streaming, which Twitch is kind of catered to at points in time, mm-hmm. You're right, it's not large. But if you look at European timing, if you look at FIFA on Twitch during European timing, it's still huge. And it's all Ultimate Team. There's nothing else but mm-hmm. Ultimate Team being streamed for the most part. I don't think they really need to push in term. Well, let me take that back. Pez is going to have to come out with something Ultimate Team-ish that is just as big. I think FIFA's pretty much got the market cornered on that, and they have their guys like Nick28T and a couple other guys that are, when tournament time comes around, it's also huge because they have the same tournaments that Madden does. We just don't hear about them because it's not normally a focal point for Americans. It's the same way like the MLS. MLS is insanely popular, but you know, EPL is just now getting popular in the last 3 or 4 years in the States. So same thing with FIFA. FIFA is you're starting to see a little bit of the turn from the American audience, but I don't think they need an arcade mode or anything. They're very, very large everywhere but the US in terms of streaming and YouTube views and all that stuff. It's just we don't get a chance to see that as much because of the way Twitch kind of aggregates stuff towards what you normally view.
Yep. All right.
I just want to add one quick, because you brought up the streaming aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just after, you know, we're like 11:20 Eastern time. Right now, the number of people viewing FIFA on Twitch outnumbers the number of people viewing MLB The Show 10-1. And again, we're in prime time on the West Coast, and FIFA is out viewing MLB The Show 10-1. And I know that's cherry picking at a particular time, but FIFA does draw very well. They have some very large streamers that stream this game. And again, the Ultimate Team specifically, it does draw. It's just, again, like Millennium said, where it's, you know, more European based or more international based. I just don't think it gets the outside attention that it deserves.
All right, let's talk about NBA 2K18, which is doing something interesting here. Very similar to what they've built and we've seen cultivate in other series now, and that's the story mode that they have for My Career. Well, they're transitioning that same concept over to the MyGM franchise mode, where now you're basically going to be playing through a story. It's a narrative-driven experience, just like My Career, but you're doing it in the role of a general manager now instead of as a player. So this is pretty interesting that they're doing this. They have the ability to do it because they also have My League, which is their base kind of franchise mode that's super customizable. And it's got, and people who are big into franchise pretty much play that. So now they're taking MyGM and doing something different with it, because the two of them really weren't dramatically different to begin with. So what they're calling it is MyGM, the next chapter. Basically, the background of the story is you were a former player, you blew your knee out, and 6 years later, you get a job as a GM of a team. You're going to be dealing with all sorts of issues that a general manager might. It says you're going to navigate backroom scenarios while dealing with expectations from your owner, your staff, press, other GMs, and of course the players. But you're also going to continue still to be able to build the team just like you have in the past in MyGM and make decisions along the way. They're just fitting a story into that. Rich, is a story mode for the general manager side of things something that intrigues you?
Yes, I can't find anything that's not great about this. You're taking the part, you're taking multiple things and turning them into something better, right? Part of what a lot of people love to do is the management of their team. You want to scout players, you want to draft players, you want to trade players, you want to develop players. That's a big part of longtime franchise management, and people love that. And then you've got the aspect of having a reason to do it other than just to do it, and understanding that there's more to being able to live the fact that there is more to being, you know, someone in charge of that. You have to deal with personalities. You have to deal with the press. You have to deal with the ownership and all sorts of different things. And then working that which, by the way, NBA 2K has already been doing to a degree in MyGM, right? We don't want to shortchange them, because I've played a lot of MyGM in the last couple of years. And there's a lot of story elements here. What they're doing, though, is sort of taking the text-based conversation with screenshots and turning it into what looks like a much more of an interactive mode. And I think it's fantastic. And it sounds to me like such a huge task that I am really excited, because I don't think they would be saying they're going to do it if they weren't confident that they were going to do something worth doing. Whether it turns out to be the big part of the story takes place over the first season, like it, and then it sort of changes to much more of a traditional mode, like it did in the story mode a couple of years ago, or whether it purposely sort of makes you experience the roller coaster of a few seasons, right, based upon how the construct is set up, will be very interesting. So I think there's nothing about this that isn't fantastic. And I'm as a longtime fan of the franchise, the NBA 2K franchise, I am 100% on board.
Yeah, you know, NBA 2K has really, they might be the only ones that are really putting a huge effort into franchise modes anymore. And we've noted that in the past, Rich, that they've spent a ton of time building out not only just one, but two different franchise modes, essentially. My GM being, like you said, having some different interactions. Wasn't really story, but you did have interactions to deal with.
Significant ones.
Yeah.
Not like significant ones. You would develop relationships with different people in the league, you know, with your owner. Like, there's a lot going on in there.
So, yeah, I think it's admirable they continue to put all that in. I do have to wonder, are they going to try and monetize this? Because VC already played a role in my GM. And if they're going to invest into this mode as far as the story goes, it wouldn't surprise me if VC continues to play a role or plays a bigger role like we've seen in my career.
I mean, VC plays a role in a different terminology in MLB The Show's Road to the Show, right? Like, I've used almost all, right? But I'm in year three of my Road to the Show, and I basically don't have any stubs left anymore. So the only way that I can get more stubs is to really, really, really grind or buy them.
Right, but
that's no different.
I know it's not as blatant as it was at first, but if you remember what they did with my GM the first year, I believe, of it, was that you needed VC to do pretty much anything basic. You needed VC to edit your roster or change your rotations. I forget which one of those two things.
It was bad, but they fixed it. Remember, they fixed it. They patched that. They made it better. And then they have gotten much better. I think we've all agreed in the balance, or at least it has felt a lot better to me over the last couple of years. Yeah. So I'm, and in fact, if VC is tied to this mode, I don't even have a problem with that, as long as it's not punitive, right? Because different people want different experiences, and I don't begrudge them from that, because, and I've got a long positive history with the NBA 2K franchise in a lot of ways. And we've talked ad nauseum about everything they've done amazingly, everything that has been a struggle. So I'm, I'm 100% on board with this. Can't wait to see what it is, and definitely makes me much more interested in NBA 2K. I was already interested in NBA 2K, but this puts it to where, when this game comes out, this is probably what I will steer to right away, this mode.
Yeah, you were already interested in NBA 2K despite them not releasing any information, Rich, until now.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. It's going to be great. Does anyone think it's not going to be great? Seriously. I mean, it'll have problems, like every game does, right? I know last year talked also a lot about, the roller coaster ride that was that game. But they're working on it. That's what they do. These guys work hard at this game. And I have zero doubt that a lot of it will be great. And there will be a lot of stuff that everybody will argue about, too. That's the franchise.
Yeah, there were definitely issues. But there's one thing you can't really criticize with NBA 2K is its feature set, which is probably the deepest of any sports game out there. Millennium, how do you feel about sports games in general? Because they're not, or not sports games, but story modes in general. Because they're not eminently streamable, because you're giving away spoilers, essentially. That's not something you can really play with on there, right?
You can, but if they're completely scripted the entire way through without many choices, it's a little tougher. Like, Road to the Show streams well, those kind of things. And that's not really story-driven. But the single player modes like that, you can definitely stream. They don't do Ultimate Team or Diamond Dynasty numbers, obviously. But I still think they play. I love them.
I love the idea of long shot. I love the idea of a My GM story mode. I love the journey in FIFA, even though that was where I spent most of my time in FIFA. It was playing through the journey because I didn't play FIFA other than that. It just gives something different that sports games don't have. And that's, I think that's really important. I'm not one of those people that will narrowly look at a game and go, oh, well, I'm not going to play that, so it sucks. Well, I mean, story modes are imperative for casual fans to play games. There are casual fans that play games in terms of just picking it up and wanting to emulate the real NFL or the real NBA. But a story mode, I've heard a whole lot of people on Twitter talking about story modes. Like I said this when EA Play went out. If you logged out of your account on your Twitter account on EA Play after they announced Longshot and just searched for Longshot without the people that, you know, are in our normal circles, like, you got a lot of positive feedback from casual people that were like, oh, wow, what is this in Madden?
Absolutely.
So I think this does the same thing. You have a story mode. Yeah, it's based on a GM, which kind of, I think basing it on a GM kind of pulls a little bit away from the casual audience.
Yep.
But you still have your My Player, which will still be a mode in the game, I'm going to guess, because this information today was very specific about My League and My GM.
Yeah.
I love it because it gives you a different piece of content, and it's giving it to you for free. Like, they're not charging an extra $10 for a story mode or $20 to put in, like, story DLC or whatever. Yet. But, like, it's just another way to play the game. I don't know why anyone – and I've heard people – this is the one thing that I will hear that I will strike down a few times. I've heard some people say that resources are altered in order to make these game modes happen. Possibly. But I can tell you right now that, like, Longshot, very specifically Longshot, was in the making. We talked about it with Mike Young for, what was it, 5 years? Is it 4 or 5 years that Mike Young's been working on it? There wasn't enough resources pushed off where it hurt other game modes. That, and as long as that's happening, I'm fine.
Well,
I love the extra content.
Yeah, and look, even if a story mode like Longshot isn't for you, you have to look at it from a business perspective, where a story mode, let's specifically look at this one for My GM. They cannot market just the normal My GM mode anymore. They can't. It's not going to reach any announcement they made for My GM. Whether it's, you could look at the other stuff they announced for My GM and My League. Interesting stuff. People are going to use it. People are going to find value in it. Things like the G League, a jump shot creator, new cities for relocation, collective bargaining agreement changes like supermax contracts and a roster size of 14 players. Good information to have, not at all marketable, right? It's not going to reach a casual audience. It's not going to get somebody to buy the game.
But that's super vital to the people who play your game every year, because that's what they need.
I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that as far as how they're going to sell the game, who's going to be appealed to out there, a story mode or adding story elements gives them screenshots. It gives them news-based articles on it. It gives them potentially clips or something valuable for a trailer. It's so they can sell the game on a story-based mode. They can sell the mode that they couldn't sell before.
There are absolutely zero gameplay shots in the information that came out today. That should tell you something. That should tell you something. Now, granted, this was very, the information that came out today was very pointed at the, I'm going to say pointed to the hardcore fans. Up into the summary that Eric put out, it was definitely pointed at hardcore going to buy every year fans. But you're right. All the screenshots that were put out today are, there's an analytics page which literally blew my mind that you can do that now. And the rest of it is My GM store or My League story mode interactions. And I think it went over well. Like I read through Twitter today. I don't think anyone had anything bad to say about NBA 2K during this about this article. Everyone was like, this is a, I mean, it has every single rule the NBA has. That's so phenomenal. Even rules that I don't even know what the hell they are. I couldn't tell you what the Stepien rule is until today. I had to look it up.
But I was just going to say, let me play the other side of the coin here, because I know you guys all play NBA on a yearly basis, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
I do not. I usually have to choose between NBA or NHL, and I usually choose NHL because I'm the Canadian.
There you go.
But here's the thing. Being a big franchise guy and looking at this story mode in particular, I think it's an absolutely phenomenal idea, but I have two major concerns that jump in my head right away. Mm-hmm. The first is it going to be balanced between, you know, am I going to get an interaction every day, every week? Like, I'm concerned about the balance. I don't want it to be cumbersome in my GM career. I don't want it to be every day. I don't want it to be every second day. I want it to be poignant and, you know, like maybe it ramps up a little bit at the trade deadline and maybe it ramps up a little bit in the off season.
I can see that because it over the course of an 82 game season, how long does an NBA season go now? 9 months when you count the playoffs, 10 months. Yeah. You're not having something significant happen off the court as far as a general manager goes every other day.
Exactly.
Yep. You mean you don't want to have to go to the gym twice a day every day during the season? Oh my God.
Yeah. So and my other concern is how linear is it going to make the GM experience? Is it going to be dynamic enough that I don't feel like it's trying to steer me in a particular direction? Or if I take my franchise in a particular direction, do the number of interactions I have severely decrease because I'm off the beaten path, so to speak? Again, I think it's a fantastic idea, but being a franchise guy, those are two big concerns I have. Will it be balanced, and will it force me to play it in a linear manner? I think for me, with the news that they've released today, at this point, I think I may have moved NBA into the buy column. And again, I know it's a couple of blog posts and some information, but again, it's for someone who doesn't play the game and who loves, you know, delving into franchise mode and putting the attention into the franchise mode that I put into my franchise modes. I love everything I saw today so much so that I would be prepared to buy this game.
And that's big. That's a big move there then.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, cater to their hardcore, but at the same time, you know, trying to bring in more people. And for me personally, I feel like they did enough today to bring me in.
All right. So let's finish up with a little Madden talk. Madden 18 is under a month away from releasing. We still haven't seen gameplay. Yeah, I know. But we have gotten some more information. EA put out something I found pretty interesting today. And that was, they released kind of a big list of community-driven requests that they actually took care of for Madden 18. These are things that you're not necessarily going to see, like back-of-the-box type of things, but important to people who play Madden. Many of these things are legacy issues that have been talked about for years. So, for example, they added off-ball injuries. So in the past, the only people who could get injured were the ones with the ball. That's why you never saw injuries to offensive linemen. Yeah. Rich, you're going to have to deal with some injuries in our franchise this year, buddy. Sorry. So things like offensive linemen, they didn't get injured unless those things happened in simulations, but not in actual games. They eliminated the swerve exploit, which was utilized very heavily in online play and in the esports competitions. They've done things like improve fumble recoveries, fix the drops related to rack catches. They've added greater importance to size and weight for hits. They've added more inaccuracy for lower rated quarterbacks. And they've done things like faster players will no longer get caught in the open field by slower ones. So things like that, which really do make a difference or have been bothersome over the years for people who play Madden a lot. It's good to see a lot of these things being addressed. Millennium, what do you think about the Madden stuff we found out lately?
This is, we're going to talk about hardcore, not back of the box stuff. This is exactly what this is. Yeah, that's what I really do. Now, gameplay wise, I know we haven't seen footage, and I'm pretty sure there's a reason behind that. And I think that's coming within the next week or two. But what I will say is, all you have to do to see how awesome this is scroll down to the last option that says defensive hot route key by position. I mean, you can literally hot route different hot routes by positioning. Now, yes, that is going to be mostly for competitive. That's the other thing I like about this. There are things in here for simulation mode. There are things in here for competitive mode, very specifically, like off-ball injuries specific to the simulation. Anytime you see the word skill mechanic, that's for the competitive people. The lower accuracy quarterbacks, while it will work in competitive, is more geared towards the simulation crowd that's been asking for that for a while. Mm-hmm. I love that there are very specific things described in this blog. Ideas, very specific legacy issues, as you said, and they're pointed out specifically to simulation and the competitive crowd. This is the kind of thing that when the devs get together and put this together, because this was obviously put together by a dev team, not a marketing team.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell the difference when every time it happens. these are gorgeous and just beautiful to see.
Snaggle, what do you have to say about what you're hearing about Madden at this point?
I'm excited. I mean, I feel like, again, everything that they have done besides the, you know, dark side of the Twitterverse uproar over the no gameplay,
sure,
that's been released, which I'd be lying if I said I wasn't slightly concerned, but again, I feel like there's probably a very good reason for it, and B, something's coming. But again, I like a lot of this stuff. A lot of these gripes are gripes that anyone who plays a good amount of a Madden game will have encountered pretty much every one of these and will have been upset by pretty much every one of these at some point. So for them to say, listen, this is community feedback, this is how we're going to fix it. Again, me personally, you're telling me that you're going to fix the swerve. Sure. Show me it in a video. I'm a very visual person. You know, it's wonderful. You can try to twist my mind with your sweet honeyed words that you write out on a piece of paper, and that's great and fine. But again, I want to see the evidence before I, you know, put a stamp on this and call this a victory. But again, very positive direction. I think the game is heading in a very positive direction. You know, for me personally, I fall into the simulation crowd of Madden players. I don't even understand what the word competitive means, to be honest. So, you know, again, it's nice to see that they're giving a little bit of something for everybody. They've put up the words, they've said what they want to do. Now it's time for them to step up to the plate and prove it.
Yeah, so as far as the gameplay thing goes, I don't have too much concern about that because we know it's going to be playable on EA Access. We know people have played it at EA Play. But there is reason to wonder is it related to Frostbite Engine? Is it related to the target passing system? You know, there are different things that could be going strangely for them at this stage, but I believe they're in beta at this point, so they're just kind of finishing it up. But it is curious, we haven't seen anything, but nothing that's really got me concerned. This is unusual for EA, not unusual with many of the other sports games, to be at this point without having seen anything really yet. Rich, with just a matter of weeks until Madden, how are you feeling about the game at this point?
I feel fine. I'm not concerned about any of this stuff. I mean, we know that it's going to be a big challenge to move to the new engine. There's just no way that that's not when you have the yearly development cycle, it's very difficult. So, you know, they've had to obviously plan this out for a couple of years when they're going to do this. What I'm What I'm hoping for Madden is just stability and continuity. I had a hard time playing Madden in our league last year. The game's gotten more and more difficult for me, and even against the computer. Like I used to bat 500 against friends and then win against the computer. And last year I lost against a computer a lot. Granted, some of that had to do with the fact that I didn't have a very good team. But still, if you're a good Madden player, your team shouldn't matter that much. You should be able to beat the CPU all the time. So I'm more curious than anything else. You know, the legacy bugs, man, the reason there are legacy issues is because they're sometimes the most difficult things to get rid of. And because every interaction that you have with the code has potential unforeseen interactions with other areas of code. So, you know, clearly these kind of things, it takes a lot of work and a lot of testing and a lot of figuring stuff out to get rid of them, because these guys have known these have been issues for a while. If it were easy to fix them, they would. So it's good to see it. Overall positive news. And, you know, I'm personally not concerned with Madden, but I'm definitely intrigued and looking forward to playing it on EA Access.
All right. So, yeah, I'm sure we're going to hit much more on Madden here as they really start to ramp up the promotion of the game with videos and more detailed information as we go. So thank you, Rich Grisham, Out of the Park Developments. Thank you, Millennium Mills Gaming TV. It's where you want to find Millennium Now on Twitch and Twitter. And then we've got SnaggleJ, YouTube, and Twitch, and Twitter, all under the same name. Thank you guys for taking the time out to talk about everything in this episode. And we'll be back with another episode of the Press Roll Podcast next week. Take care till then.